Welcome to Faith Point, the podcast ministry of First Southern Baptist Church of Prescott Valley, with Senior Pastor Terrell Eldredge. Our goal is to allow our faith to intersect with real life. So let's join Pastor Terrell today as he shares with us from God's Word.
We have a special day today, besides being Mother's Day. Our choir is going to present a program for you that will literally take us through the better part of the New Testament. And so I present to you from the First Southern Choir, The Witness.
Listen to me, this is for you. I've come to tell you a story that's true. Story about a special man that I knew. The Son of God has come, the Son of God has come, and I'm a witness. Oh, I'm a witness. The Son of God has come, the Son of God has come, and I'm a witness. I was a witness when God came to men and lived here as Jesus, my carpenter friend. I'll tell you the story beginning to end. The Son of God has come, the Son of God has come, and I'm a witness. Yeah, I'm a witness. The Son of God has come, the Son of God has come, and I'm a witness. My name is Peter, and I'm an apostle. Well, maybe I don't look much like an apostle to you. Well, that's because I'm a fisherman by trade, a plain man, I guess you could say. But I haven't come here to talk about myself. Listen to me, this is for you. I've come to tell you a story that's true. What I have witnessed, I'm telling to you. The Son of God has come, the Son of God has come, and I'm a witness. Listen to me, God came to men and lived here with Jesus, my carpenter friend. I'll tell you the story beginning to end. The Son of God has come, the Son of God has come. And I'm a witness.
Visited by the angel Gabriel, and he told her that she was blessed above all women because she was chosen to be the mother of God's Son, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. I guess you could say she was the first New Testament believer because she obeyed God and in doing so risked losing her reputation and her family and the love of the man that she was to marry. It took incredible faith and courage to do what she did. But the angel also had a talk with Joseph, her husband-to-be, and he believed too and married this lovely girl who was already with child by the Holy Spirit.
Again,
Years later, I heard with my own ears the voice of God from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." If I'd ever had any doubts, I knew then that the story of his unique birth was true. But when I first met Jesus, he was about 30 years old. He'd been baptized by John and filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he began his ministry, and he created quite a stir, telling people what God is really like and how he expects them to live. We'd never heard anyone like him. Well, he brought the reality and the power and the excitement and the love of God into our humdrum lives. He came into our little town to teach and turned our lives upside down. Nothing ever happens here in Galilee. You just follow in the footsteps of your family. Be a fisherman like people say you're meant to be. Go down to the boat.
Take your turn at the oar.
Hoist the sail.
Mend the net.
Clean the fish. Cut the bait.
Yada-dum, yada-dim. Oh, nothing ever happens to me.
Nothing ever happens here to me anymore.
Every day's exactly like the day before.
You're just waiting, but you don't know what you're waiting for.
You know in your soul that there's got to be more. Oh, nothing ever happens to me. Then Jesus came, and all of our lives were changed. Fishers of men, sent out to catch them and bring them in. To wake them up, shake them up, teach them truth. And when they're filled with God, send them out and then they'll be fishers of men. Fishers of men.
Says nothing ever happens here in Galilee. These sleepy little villages beside the sea. Comes a man of God to tell us what we're meant to be.
He's loving us, healing us, and setting us free. Oh, finally it's happened to me. He made us fishers of men. Fishers of men, sent out to catch them and bring them in. To wake them up, shake them up, teach them truth. And when they're filled with God, send them out and then they'll be fishers of men. Fishers of men, sent out to catch them and bring them in. To wake them up, shake them up, teach them truth. And when they're thrilled with God, send them out and then they'll be fishers of, fishers of, fishers of, fishers of, fishers of, fishers of men.
Well, imagine this great teacher calling simple men like us to come and serve God with him. But we knew that when Jesus said, "Follow me," he wasn't calling us to an easy life. Becoming fishers of men called for life-changing commitments from us and from our families.
My bridal veil and wedding gown, I set my vows and dreamed of how I'd settle down. Of course I thought my husband ought to stick around. But now it seems that the man of my dreams is always out of town. Well, I guess I married a traveling man, but I met Jesus, so I understand. When you find the truth, you will follow him anywhere. When you find the truth, you'll follow him anywhere. I thought he'd come straight home from fishing every day. But sometimes the way of God is not a woman's way. My mother rolls her eyes and softly sighs, oy vey, and wonders how I'll be able to smile each time he goes away. Well, I guess I married a traveling man, but I met Jesus, so I understand. When you find the truth, you will follow him anywhere. When you find the truth, you'll follow him anywhere.
Even when the other brothers and I first started traveling with Jesus, we didn't yet realize what he was or the extent of the power of God on his life. But our eyes really began to be open when we went with him to a wedding in Cana. It was the most incredible thing I'd ever seen, up to that point anyway. You see, they had run out of wine and the host was about to be terribly embarrassed. But Jesus' mother asked him to do something about it, knowing that he could, but he told her it wasn't his time yet. But she said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Well, Jesus had the servants fill 6 stone water jars with water and then draw some of it out and take it to the head steward. Well, it had miraculously been changed into very good wine. No one would have believed that he could do that. No one except his mother. If you want to know how to find favor with God, you can't find a better example than this lady. She knows the way.
How did I arrive? How did I come to be the one he chose to bless? Out of all the rest, why did he choose me? What did I possess? What secret did I know? What wonder have I done to move the one from whom all blessings flow? Just these words, they're all I have to give. Just these words, they're all the way I live. Whatever he says to you, do it.
Do it.
Whatever he says to you, do it.
Do it.
And the water out to give your life so God can live his life in you. Just these words, they're all I have to give. Just these words, they are the way to live. Whatever he says to you, do it.
Do it.
Whatever he says to you, do it.
Do it.
And the water will turn into wine. Sight will come to the blind. So whatever he says to you, do it. Just do it.
Well, we saw him turn water into wine, heal the sick, the blind, the deaf, cast out demons. But not only were the things Jesus did marvelous, the things he said were staggering. Listen to some of these words about himself. He said, "The Father and I are one. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Is it any wonder the religious leaders came to hate him? He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And whoever hears my words and puts his trust in him who sent me has everlasting life. And he will not be judged, but has already passed from death into life." And then he talked about being born again. "Unless a man is born again," Jesus said, "he cannot see the kingdom of God." Well, how can we be born again? Jesus was talking about our spirits being given birth by God's Spirit when we believe in his Son.
Tell me how the wind blows. Tell me where the wind goes. You hear it singing through the skies. You can see what you feel, but you know that is real. Like the spirit in your heart that softly sighs, born again. You can be born again. You can live in the Father's love.
And when this life
you
what kind of a man was this Jesus that he would dare to offer people a new birth? Well, we'd walked with him, we'd seen miracles and heard wonders, but we got our first understanding of who we were really dealing with when a poor widow's only son died. Jesus had compassion on her, and he simply walked in and raised him from the dead.
Who is this who has life to give? Who is this who tells the dead to live?
The Lord in every man with some words of truth to say, has his home within the sun,
and one day fades away. Who is this who has life to give? Who is this who tells the dead to live? Not an ordinary man, but one who dares to say that he is the resurrection and the life, and then offers it to you and me. Come to
here was more than a good man, or a teacher, or even a prophet, for we saw that this man had life in himself, and he could give it to anyone he chose. We were witnessing something that no one had ever seen before, and we were just beginning to understand. Son of the living God, I say you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. You are the Lord. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I say you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. You are my Lord. And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are now Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it."
You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I say you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. You are the Lord. Christ, the Son of the living God, you are the Christ, you are the Lord, you are the Christ, you are.
Christ, the Son of the living God, the promised King who had come to Israel in the name of the Lord. And we were waiting for that day when he would do something about taking his place of rulership and receive the honor and glory that he deserved. And of course, we planned to move up in the world right along with him. Oh, we had so much to learn from Jesus. Sometimes it's great to learn your lessons secondhand and not have to take all of the lumps yourself. I learned one of my many lessons about the kingdom of God from those two wonderful brothers, James and John, the sons of thunder, Jesus called them, and their mother, who decided to act as their agent.
Shouldn't waste time looking. Let me recommend my boys. I hope to see there won't be room for them both on your right. So make a nice place on your left so that they shouldn't fight. They're nice boys. See them looking gorgeous, sitting there like kings. You could maybe furnish crowns, and how about some rings for my boys? Oh, I can see they'll need new clothes, but we'll keep the cost low. Just tell me what they need to wear. I'll be happy to sew for my boys. Oh, I can see them making decisions, looking noble and wise. And in a pinch, if things get busy, I can help advise my boys. I can see they'll be the ones who will get the job done. Taking control, giving commands, tell me who'll have more fun than my boys. They're nice boys. You couldn't go wrong.
Well, after Jesus had set them straight, he began to teach all of us what it takes to be a great man of the kingdom of God. He said, among the heathen, the kings are tyrants, and each minor official lords it over those beneath them. But among you, it is to be quite different. Anyone wanting to be your leader must be your servant. And if you want to be right at the top, you must serve like a slave. For your attitude must be like my own. For I, the Messiah, did not come to serve, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom.
Lord, make me like you. Please make me like you. You are a servant. Make me one too.
Oh, Lord. Make me like you, Lord. Just make me like you. Lord, make me like you. Please make me like you. You are a servant.
make me one too. Oh Lord, I am willing, do what you must do to make me like you, Lord. Just make me like you.
As the time for the Passover came near, the people of Jerusalem saw Jesus, this miracle-working rabbi, come riding into the city humbly on a young donkey. Well, they ran to throw flowers and palm branches in front of them. Some of them even lined the roadway with their own coats. Well, they went wild. Jerusalem, how she loved him that day. The people seemed determined to make him their king. But Jesus knew that it wasn't yet time for him to be king, that God's plan for him just then wasn't rulership, but death. Well, he tried to make us understand, but we just couldn't grasp it. As we shared our Last Supper, he tried to show us what his coming death was really all about. A sacrifice for the sins of the whole world.
This is my body broken for you, bringing you.
Of course, the leaders of the Jews didn't understand God's plan either. They just wanted Jesus out of the way. Not only because he exposed their hypocrisy, but because they were afraid the people really would try to make him king. And in doing so, bring the wrath of Rome down on the whole nation. Well, how do you get rid of a popular hero? With money, of course. You hire false witnesses to testify against him, and then you arrest him quietly at night through the betrayal of a greedy friend. In the Garden of Gethsemane, where we had gone with Jesus to pray, Judas came, bringing the religious leaders and the Roman soldiers to arrest him. We couldn't believe it was happening. Frankly, we panicked and we ran away. Later, I actually denied even knowing him. It was the blackest moment of my life. I couldn't imagine that he could ever forgive me. And when they had tried him, they condemned him to death. And there was nothing any of us could do but stand and weep and watch them put Jesus of Nazareth to death. From the place of his trial, they marched him slowly through the streets where he had ridden in triumph only a few days before. This time, the King of the Jews wore a twisted crown of thorns and staggered under a heavy cross to a hill called the Place of the Skull. And there they crucified the Son of God. Some of us were there watching. The disciples, the women, and his mother. Bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And we watched the blood run down his broken body. And we began to understand the meaning of the bread and the wine. And we realized that he didn't have to go through any of this. God had laid on him the sins of the whole world. And he had gone as quietly as a lamb to be sacrificed. We were watching the greatest act of love the world has ever known.
In our darkness, he came in peace to bring relief from our pain. He came with joy to bring us rest in our weariness. He came in love to bring us beauty again.
They took him down, his poor, dead body, and prepared him for his burial. They took him down, his poor, pale body, drained of life, ashen, stained with its own life's blood. His healing hands, now pierced and still. Serving hands that broke five loaves to feed 5,000. Holy hands, often folded in fervent prayer. His poor, gentle hands, now pierced and still. His poor, torn feet, now bloodied and cold. Feet that walked weary miles to bring good news to broken hearts. Feet once washed in penitence tears. His poor torn feet, now bloody and cold. His kingly head, made for a crown, now crowned with thorns. His poor kingly head, crowned with thorns. His poor loving breast, pierced by a spear thrust, now quiet and still. His poor loving breast, now quiet and still. His piercing eyes, now dark and blind. Eyes of compassion, warming the soul. Fiery eyes, burning at sin. Tender eyes, beckoning sinners. His piercing eyes, now dark and blind. His matchless voice, fountain of the Father's thoughts, stopped and stilled to speak no more. Silence now, where once had flowed wisdom and comfort, spirit and life, his matchless voice stilled to speak no more. Well, they took him down, his poor dead body, and prepared him for his burial. And so we buried him, and we thought that was the end. But it was only the beginning.
Forward into earth's heart, death has smiled.
He was alive. We had him back with us. We were beside ourselves with joy. Well, this was going to change the whole world. Except, it seems he wasn't planning on staying. He was going to leave and transfer all the power and the responsibility for preaching his gospel to us. The shepherd was leaving, and he left the flock in our care. If you had failed him the way that I had, how would you have felt when he said, "Peter, do you love me? If you love me, feed my sheep." I love you, Lord, and you know I always meant to do things right. I love you, Lord, when I think of how I failed you, I could cry. And when I hear you calling me, I want to run and hide. Yet you know I love you so. I love you, Lord, although I know my heart may not seem true. I love you, Lord, and I prayed for one more chance to prove I do. I want to leave the past behind and feel your smile again. Oh, Lord, you know I love you so. I love you so. So if you find it in your heart to let me start again, I'll be your witness, Lord, your witness, Lord, your witness to the end of my life. Let me make it right. Let me try again. I'll be your witness to the end. So if you find it in your heart to let me start again, I'll be your witness, Lord, your witness, Lord, your witness to the end of my life. Let me make it right. Let me try again. I'll be your witness to the end. To For 40 days he appeared to us and talked to us about the kingdom of God. And he said that he was going to leave and go to be with the Father, but that one day he would return, and this time in great power and glory to rule over the earth. But he was coming back for a kingdom whose rulers are servants, and where warriors are peacemakers, and where the pure in heart, the meek, and the merciful are the conquerors of the world. And he told us that we were to go into all of the nations and make disciples, preaching the good news of redemption from sin through Jesus Christ, the Messiah. But he told us that we were to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit should come and fill us with power. And then we would become his witnesses. And after he said that, an amazing, wonderful, awful thing happened. He was caught up into heaven in a cloud and carried out of our sight. And then angels came and told us that Jesus would return in the same way we'd seen him leave. But after he was gone, it seemed that most of our courage and zeal had gone with him. I've never felt so alone in my life. How could it be? He expected so much of us, and it all seemed so far beyond our abilities. But he had promised us a comforter and a source of power, the Holy Spirit. And he told us to wait, and we waited.
In that room upstairs when we met to pray and it all began, I'll never forget the day. The fire fell, the Spirit came, and nothing will ever be the same.
Well, it was the day of Pentecost and God poured out power on his new church. We who had denied Jesus ran into the streets like drunken men, shouting the mighty works of God. Well, there were Jews there that day from every country under heaven, and everyone heard the praises of God in their own language. The prophecy of Joel, given hundreds of years before, was being fulfilled right before our eyes.
Your sons and daughters are prophesying in the streets.
Get ready.
Your young are seeing visions and your old are dreaming dreams.
Get ready.
This is the beginning of the ending, the day before the day of the Lord. Get ready for the day that God is sending, when the sun has gone and the moon has turned to blood. Spirit shouting good news from heaven today.
Get ready.
He is reaching out to rescue all who call upon his name.
Get ready.
This is the beginning of beginnings, the day that brings the mercy of God. Get ready for the grace the Lord is sending, while he offers you salvation through his blood.
God has sent a mighty man upon you to save you from the judgment of his life. And this same Jesus who was crucified, he is risen, he is Lord, he is
This same Jesus who was crucified and risen is still both Lord and Christ. So confess him as Christ and Lord of your life. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has this life. He who does not have the Son does not have this life. So confess him as Christ and Lord of your life. Be born again and receive that life from him.
Of the Christ child to the birth of the church. That's the whole story. But it's an eternal story. One of those sons of thunder, John, in the book of 1 John, says this, He said, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. That word testify there, it's the word we get our word martyr from. It means to give witness, the witness. When we share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone, we are being martyrs. We are being witnesses. And then he said, we gave witness, we gave testimony of Jesus, the Son of the living God. You know that that phrase is only used two times in the entire New Testament. The Son of the living God. Both times, it's John that writes it. Once here in John, 1 John chapter 4. But the first time we see it, he's writing about it in the Gospel of John. But you know what? It's not John who says it there. You know who says it? Not somebody who was with him for 3 years. Not somebody who witnessed his crucifixion, who was not there to see him after he rose from the dead. It was Samaritans, people who weren't even Jews, people who were looking for a Messiah, but not this Messiah, who knew he would be a Jew, but really didn't like the Jews. And you know who told them about the Messiah, the Son of the living God? It was a woman at the well, at Jacob's well. An outcast. Somebody who didn't matter at all. Somebody that nobody wanted to talk to. But she met Jesus. Just Jesus. And he changed everything. You know what she did? She became a martyr. She became a witness and went back home. She went to her town and began to tell people about Jesus. And some of them trusted and believed in Jesus without ever meeting him. And then they all came back out. Those who had just trusted in Jesus and those who had just heard about him for the very first time. And they came out to the well. And after they had heard Jesus, you know what John says in John chapter 4? He said, the people who came out said, now we believe. Not because you told us, but because we have seen him. Now we believe he is the Son of the living God. Tells me two things. A couple of more, but just two things. One is that God still needs us if we know Christ as our Savior and Lord. We're not here by accident. He's not leaving us here with nothing to do. He said, now you are my witnesses. Now you are my hands, my feet, my voice. You need to serve. We're to be his servants. But it also tells me we have to be his servants because people aren't going to come to Christ. They're not going to come to salvation without somebody who introduces them to Jesus Christ. We are the introducers. That's our ministry. That's our service as the church. And then we learn from that experience at the well that nobody can be saved for anybody else. You have to be introduced, maybe from somebody to introduce you. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord today, we can't be saved for you. We can't be your salvation. We can't make sure you go to heaven by choosing for you. You have to choose for yourself. This morning, you can clap and you can say, wow. But if you walk out of here without choosing Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, nothing will have changed. Nothing will be different in your life. Because First Southern can't make you a Christian. Grace Prescott Valley can't make you a Christian. This choir can't make you a Christian. Only you choosing Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who gave himself as a sacrifice for your sins, he is the only one who can make that difference. But when you choose him, boy, do things change. All of a sudden, you are a new creation in Jesus Christ. Our prayer today is that you will trust him. That you will say yes. And I know if you do, you're going to go out of here saying the same thing that the Samaritan said. Now we know he is the Savior of the world. And how you'll know that? Because he just changed your life. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. I want you to pray. If you've never trusted Jesus to be your Savior, you think, I don't know what I would do if I did that. I don't know if I could give what it may takes. The good news is, God knows you can't give anything. He's already done it for you through Jesus Christ. All you have to do is receive. So Heavenly Father, I pray for anyone here in this room or anyone who will hear this online that Jesus Christ came into this world and died in their place and rose from the dead, victorious over the grave and sin and death, and he lives for eternity, and he gives to us eternal life. Father, we pray that right now they would say yes to Jesus. That they would say, I don't want to just hear Jesus is your Lamb of God. I don't want to just hear that you are the Savior of the world. I want to experience that. A deep, close, intimate experience with you is what I want. And Father, thank you that that's what you'll give them, that you will make them new from the inside out. So Father, thank you for your promise of salvation. Thank you for the eternity you offer. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who 2,000 years ago came and lived out what we've heard today. He lived and died and then rose again to new life, to eternal life. And he gives that to us today if we'll only submit to him. Trusting him to be our Savior and our Lord, asking him to forgive us of our sins. Father, thank you for what you're going to do in lives today. We pray these things in the name of our living Savior, the Savior of the world. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today for Faith Point. Reach us online at firstsouthernpv.org or stop by to worship with us if you are in the Prescott Valley area. May God richly bless you today as you allow your faith to intersect with your life.